Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
Elizabeth, believe it or not, when I was a child, I was small for my age, and I did get bullied. And there was one particular bully in my class who just delighted in knocking me over and sitting on my chest and letting the girls especially see this, saying, I have mastery over him.
Oh, so he sat on you to show, hey, this is the done deal.
That's right.
I am in charge.
I'm in charge. Now, as far as why
you I would you pay had, to see that.
Yeah, I know you would. and at that time, you didn't have to pay because
because everybody would
free.
See it. Huh?
He did it for free. Mm. And basically, he was upset with me because I made very good grades in school and he did not. And so it was kind of his way of showing a one up against me. He was better than me, and he showed that by sitting on my chest.
You know, this language of sitting on something has been a language throughout, especially in Matthew, the royal languages. When you are in control of something, master of something, in authority, once in a while, you know, even in the Old Testament, when somebody sits.
Yeah.
They sit on the throne. They are in charge. They are a master. So I can understand that.
Yeah.
And actually, today we're going to end up with a story, somebody sitting on something.
That's
but
right.
We're going to get you there.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to get you there little by little so you can see the force of what Matthew is actually trying to say.
And we want to look today, first of all, at Matthew chapter 28.
Actually, we're going to start on chapter 27.
You
on
want to start 27? I don't know.
Well, what happens is that
you're going to give us some background. Go
ahead. Yeah, because we're going to talk about how Matthew actually shows the death of Jesus as triumphant. We barely touched on that yesterday, but today we want to show how actually this was a victory. So let's go back to chapter 27, if you don't mind, Mike.
Well, you know, I'll let you do it this time. Don't do it again.
Don't bully me, please.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go to verse 50 of chapter 27, and let's reread parts of what we read yesterday so we can continue with this.
And when Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rock split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people.
As we told you yesterday, only Matthew records this resurrection at the moment that Jesus dies. He can't wait till resurrection morning to tell us that something magnificent has just happened, that the death of Jesus is not something bad. That it actually started something good.
Something very good.
And we didn't have time yesterday to tell you where this prophecy is found in the Old Testament. So today we're going to go there with you to show you how the Jews had been waiting for the time in which the end of the ages will do this resurrection. So don't forget that Matthew is talking to a very Jewish audience that knows
their Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament. They knew that, and they knew it quite well.
Yes.
And this is his primary target audience. And we find this particular prophecy in Isaiah chapter 26.
And verse 19.
It says, but your dead will live, their bodies will rise. You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead.
Yeah, see, this is what the people were waiting. They were waiting for an age, and they also call this the Messianic age.
That's right.
You know, the day when the Messiah or Christ would come and just take over, and all these people will rise to death.
And so Matthew is here saying, he's announcing the Messianic age has begun.
Yes.
The death of Jesus has ushered in the Messianic age because, after all, he is the Messiah. He's died for our sins. He has victory now. And so this resurrection predicted in Isaiah has taken place.
That's right. So he does this very dramatically. He does this as a triumphant thing that we told you yesterday. He's only the one that records this great earthquake and the rock splitting the resurrection happening. And then he says, well, but they came out of the tombs on Sunday morning. But actually, he can't wait to tell you that they were resurrected.
He does it right now.
Yeah, because of what it means theologically.
And theologically, it stands better with the death than it even does the resurrection because this is a done deal now.
That's right. And you know, Jesus had said that his death would be a sign for those that wanted to believe. We're going to take you back a little bit in Matthew to a dialogue that some of the scribes and Pharisees had with Jesus, saying, we want to see a sign from you. Not just a miracle, but a sign, something that shows us who you are. This is chapter 12 of Matthew, starts on verse 38. Yep. And Jesus answered a very strange answer. Let's go there, Mike. 38, maybe to 40.
Okay. It says, then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you. He answered, a wicked and adulterous generation asked for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah.
See how strange this is. He says, you're not going to get any sign.
That's right.
Except the sign of Jonah. And what is the sign of Jonah? Actually, we get this explanation in the Gospel of Matthew of what
it is. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be given 3 days and three nights in the earth, in the heart of the earth.
Yeah, so here we have a direct quote from the book of Jonah. See, many of you know the prophet Jonah. He's the one that ran away, that detoured, that didn't want to go to where God was sending him.
Didn't want to go to Nineveh.
And even his detour becomes a typology for the death of Jesus. I mean, leave it to God to turn something
like
bad
that,
into something good. And,
that's right.
And you can read about it, Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, or any part of the book of Jonah, how he spent in this whale this time.
That's
and
right.
Jesus says, okay, that was a symbol of what's about to happen to me.
Going to happen to me, that's right. I'll spend that time in the earth, and then I will come forward.
I will come forward, I will resurrect, and this is going to be a victorious time.
That's right.
So we can't wait to tell you how Matthew narrates the resurrection of Jesus. You know, the resurrection of Jesus not only is it victorious because his death already was.
That's right.
But it does something very significant in the Gospel of Matthew. So why don't we go to chapter 28?
After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake. Again,
another
with the earthquake.
That's
right. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it.
Okay, don't miss that because this is only found in the Gospel of Matthew. This is the type of language that Matthew has been using all along. Remember that we started with Son of David, and we talked about the Davidic line.
That's right.
Remember the generations in the first chapter, 14, 14, 14. So we've been talking about kingly stuff, throne stuff. And
this is royal language. This is victory language. This is the language that says this is a done deal. Here, God himself is bullying death. You know, it was not so much fun when the bully sat on my chest.
Yeah.
But God is sitting on the chest of death saying, you're done. You're history. You're out of here. And he says, I'm going to leave my angel here because he can handle things now. No big deal. He sits on the chest of death saying, you're over.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to tell you, maybe you are one of those people that today is facing something in your life and you're like, this is impossible. And maybe this is the version of the resurrected Christ that you need.
That's right.
You know, that God is absolutely in total control. He has sat on death.
He can
sit on anything you're facing.
And whatever the bully is in your life, God he's already defeated him.
Yeah.
And he's sitting on his chest.
That's right.
It's up to you to claim that victory through him, but he has won this victory for you.
Yeah, I cannot tell you what it means to me every time I read this verse, because, you know, it's like a suspense. The angel of the Lord descended, and he came here, and he rolled away the stone, and he sat on it.
Yeah.
It's like, woo-hoo, you know, he sat on the stone. This is a done deal. And, you know, what is great is that this authority language is not only that salvation is a done deal.
That's right.
But that one day evil will be eradicated, death will be no more, like we talked not long ago. And look how the gospel actually ends on verse 18 of the same chapter.
Yeah. It says, then Jesus came and came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.
Yeah. So here, actually, the gospel ends with this authoritative statement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all authority. I mean, think of anything that you're going through. By the way, listener, if you are going through something, hey, I'm sure it's either on heaven or on earth.
That's right.
So, and Jesus is saying, hey.
There's no other place for it to be, right?
Yeah. And he says, all authority.
I've got authority over whatever it is you're suffering through.
That's right. I'm sitting on the stone that you
that's
need
right.
to roll away. You know,
that's right.
I have claimed this promise so many times in my life. When the stone is so big that I don't know how to roll it.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, well, it's not the size of the mountain, but the strength of the mountain mover.
Yeah.
Well, I have a God that knows how to roll stones.
Yes.
But he doesn't just do that.
He sits on top of it and says, your history.
Yeah, he sits on them. And perhaps the resurrection of Jesus told in this way to you today mm-hmm. is a way of saying, look, trust me.
That's right.
You know, I have power in your life. So this authoritative language, we want to live with you in the sense that your salvation is a done deal.
Yes, it is.
Jesus has sent his angel to sit on the stone of death. And he has the ultimate victory.
I've had people tell me, you know, I think my sins are too dark to be forgiven. There's no way that God could ever save me. You don't know what I've done. I had a man who had killed over 100 people as an act of war in Vietnam. And he said, there's no hope for me. There's no hope. And, you know, Jesus is here saying through this language, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. There is hope for you because he has won the victory over everything. He is not sovereign over all if he's not sovereign enough to forgive a man who's killed people. And he can forgive you for whatever it is you've done in your life, yeah. No matter how bad you may think this is.
Of all the Gospels, by far, Matthew is the more triumphant one.
Yes.
He's the kingly one. He's the one that says, hey, when Jesus died on the cross, that day he was crowned king.
That's right.
And, you know, he's of the Davidic line, and now everything is under his authority. But on top of that, when on Sunday morning the angel came and sat on the stone, yes. It was a final statement.
That's right.
He's totally in control.
This is God's signature for you. Just as the angel sat on the stone, so God sits on whatever it is that bedevils you.
Mm.
He has rolled the stone away from your life. You can find victory in him because Jesus Christ is supreme.
The devil is the bully, but Jesus sits on him.
That's right.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101Media. Until next time, live free.